Good evening and greet you in Jesus' name this evening. Glad to worship with you here at Susquehanna Valley and share together in this way. I suppose you can call it a surprise if you like, but what I have to share this evening is probably not a new thought to you. I'm going to have you turn to a passage that is actually really familiar. Luke chapter 10. Invite your attention there. Luke chapter 10. And I'd like to read verses 25 to 37. And we know this account as the account of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. I'm going to read it at this time. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Very familiar passage, very familiar story, and yet there's timeless truths there that we can learn from, and we can read this and be challenged by. I've titled the message this evening, How to Be a Good Samaritan. And you know, I was thinking about this. We call this Samaritan the Good Samaritan. And I was thinking about all the, that man never realized how famous he would become. When you think about all the things that are named after him, there's hospitals, there's clinics, there's relief organizations. The relief organization, what's it called? Samaritan's Purse, I believe. And it's a challenge to me that, you know, this man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, seeing that man in need, he helped him. And he never realized how much of a challenge that would be down through time. And that's what I'd like to challenge us with this evening. I think it's good for us to take these really familiar stories, and maybe, you know, we read them and they become almost that commonplace to us. We don't think about some of the truths that are there for us. And I'd like to challenge us with some of them this evening. So what did Jesus want us to learn from this story of the Samaritan that helped this poor man? What did Jesus want us to learn? Verse 37, he told the lawyer, he said, you go and do likewise. Go and be like this Samaritan, is what he was telling him. So what are the lessons? What does Jesus want us to do? How does he want us to live today so that we can be like that Samaritan? I don't know. This lawyer, I'm not sure what. It says that he stood up and tempted Jesus. And he asked him what he could do to inherit eternal life. And one thing that this lawyer understood and that Jesus underscored is that to inherit eternal life, inheriting eternal life was tied to our love for God and for our fellow man. There's a correlation there, and we need to understand that. And the Bible, in a number of places, makes it clear that our love for God and how much we value the God's input in our lives is tied to how we treat our fellow man and how we express our love to our fellow man, and especially to those that are in need and those that suffer misfortunes and those that are the down and out. 1 John 3. A couple verses I'd like to read there. 1 John 3:17 and 18. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the challenge I get from those verses is that love and compassion is more than just talk. You know, we can talk a good game, and we can talk about how to treat others and what we'd like to do for others and all kinds of things. But it's when we actually it's getting out there and putting it into practice, isn't it? Like this Samaritan did, he put his care and his compassion. He worked it out in a practical way, and that's a challenge to me. And then back to James chapter 2, a few verses from this chapter. James 2, verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Dropping down to verses 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And again, it's an example of loving our neighbor as ourselves when we actually reach out and we actually do something. And we contribute to the lives of others. And again, it's more than just talk. Now, turning back again to Luke chapter 10, and I want to take a closer look at this Samaritan and how he helped this certain unfortunate man on the Jericho Road, and look at some principles that will guide us as we help those that we encounter in life with deep needs and with needs. And I have about 5 points that I'd like to share with you this evening that I'd like us to remember as we go about our lives, as we go through life. We're going to meet people, we're going to see people with needs, we're going to encounter people with needs. And the challenge that I have for you, first of all, are you seeing them? And then when you do see them, what are you doing about it? Or aren't you doing anything? Or is it all talk and no action? And it was a challenge to me as I looked at this passage. First of all, in verse 33 from Luke chapter 10, we could spend some time talking about the priest and Levite, and we can probably see ourselves in that, can't we? I mean, the priest, he came that way, and when he saw him, and I picture this, when he saw this poor man laying by the side of the road, and he wasn't driving, but he got over and he just like skirted him. The Levite did a little better. He came and looked at him and decided it's above his pay scale, or I'm not sure what he decided, but he again moved on and moved to the other side of the road and kept going. And then in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And the challenge that I'd like to, point number one is this. We're going to have to go to the people that have needs. It says this certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And many times in life, as we see people with needs, and we're going to have to take the initiative. There are those that come to us with needs, and they make requests. We know there's a lot of that around us. Some are legitimate, some not so much. But many times, those with needs, we're going to have to go, and we're going to have to take the initiative. And most times, those with needs are reluctant to make those needs known. A lot of times, that's how it is. They're reluctant to make those needs known, and it's up to us to be observant enough that we recognize those with needs and recognize the needs that they have, and reach out. And it's a challenge to all of us. We all have our own lives to live. We have things we got to do. We have schedules to meet, and we have responsibilities and commitments that we have, busy schedules, and we got to make a living, and there's family and church responsibilities, and there's just a whole host of things that make our lives busy. But it's pretty clear to me from this passage that this Samaritan, he wasn't just out for a ride. He had his schedule to meet as well, and he had things going, and I believe he had commitments to make. I know he did. And yet, whatever his mission was, he set that aside. He put that aside, and he focused on the needs of this poor soul that he found along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. How observant, and that's a question I'd like to leave with you this evening, how observant am I? How observant are you to the needs of those around you? There's people with physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. There's people with financial needs, deep needs. And we can kind of tune out to those things if we want to, and we can just kind of, we observe them, and the challenge and what I find myself doing is not getting too close to the situation, because when we get close and we learn more about it and we find out more about it, it puts some responsibility on us. And so what I find myself doing is pulling back. And instead, we need to go to those people. Like this Samaritan, he came where he was. How flexible am I in doing what I can to meet the needs of those around me? Or is my schedule just too busy and my agenda is too important to me that I don't have the time for someone else? Maybe the needs that this person has are just a friend. Maybe he needs a friend and he don't have any. Am I willing to be that to him? And am I willing to take the initiative to reach out and develop a relationship with that kind of a person? Number two, be sincerely concerned and have compassion for hurting people. The last part, the end of verse 33, it says, when he saw him, When this Samaritan saw this poor man laying by the side of the road, notice what it says. It says he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And when I think of compassion, I get the idea of being conscious of the needs or distress that another person is in. And not only am I conscious of that need, and not only do I see it, but I have a desire to do something about it. You know, we live in a world where there's so many needs, and there's so many hurting people. And, you know, we can almost become calloused. We can almost become calloused, and we get to feeling like, you know, it's just another need in this big world. And I'd like to challenge you to compassion. And while we can't help all the needs and we can't reach out to everybody, God places those into our lives and into our pathway along our road that we can have compassion and we can do something for them and about their situation. Along with this compassion, having compassion for those around us and those with needs. You know, I don't know how it is for you, but when I see somebody with a need, or they're in trouble, or facing some really hard situation, I'm often tempted to analyze that. And I analyze it and try to decide if, you know, what got them in this situation? How did they get here? And you try to decide, so what's the reason they're here? And why are they in this predicament? Is it a result of choices, bad choices in their part? And then I allow that to decide whether or not I help or not. And that's really not compassion. I believe. And then I think of the situations that I faced in my life, and more than once I've been a recipient of somebody that cared about me and had compassion on me and reached out to me. And if they'd have done the same thing to me and analyzed why I'm in the predicament that I'm in, many times it would have been because I made some bad choices, and the choices that I made weren't always so great, and maybe we were ignorant or misinformed, and the decision we made caused us a lot of grief and trouble. It's times like that when I was glad for those compassionate individuals that reached out to me anyway, and were willing to help me out in spite of bad choices. This poor man that was laying along that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, he didn't need a sermon right then about traveling alone at night. That's not what he needed right then. He needed something much more than that. And this Samaritan was willing to reach out and give him that. And you know, I'm not saying that helping a person is all about helping materially. I believe we can, you know, there is a place for us to maybe later to shine a light on the poor choices that they made, and maybe this would, you know, a choice like this would put them in a better position. But I believe that as we encounter those with deep needs, we reach out with concern and compassion, and we do what we can for them. Number 3, put your compassion into action. Verse 34, he went to him. And notice what it says, he bound up his wounds. And remember that verse that I read in James in the beginning, where it says that, you know, how does the love of God dwell in you if you just say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not give them not those things which are needful. And to me, that's a lot of talk and no action. And the challenge here is put your compassion into action. It takes more than just a lot of good words. And, you know, we can, sometimes we let ourselves off the hook pretty easy. And we meet those with needs, and, you know, we try to encourage them, and, you know, we hope things turn around for them, and we really act concerned in that way. And we may even go a step further and be a little more tactful and say, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for you in this situation. And that's a worthy thing to say, and that's an encouragement. And it's a good and noble thing to pray for people. But if we have the ability to do something about it, and all we say is, I'm going to pray for you, and then isn't that a little like saying, but then don't do anything? Isn't that a little like saying, be warmed and filled? And it's kind of an easy out for us. Many times, God answers our prayers, and by using human instrumentality to help others, and He uses us. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and the question is: am I willing to get involved? Am I willing to get my hands dirty to help someone else, or am I holding back? And I'm willing to be involved from a distance. Put your compassion into action. Get down on their level and help them. And do like this Samaritan. It says he went to him and bound up his wounds. Number 4, be willing to use your resources to minister to the needs of others. This good Samaritan did. It says that he bound up his wounds and he poured in oil and wine, and he used the resources that he had. He poured in the oil and wine that he had with him, and then instead of riding his beast, he walked and put his victim on his, I suppose it was probably a donkey or a horse, I don't know what it was, but he used the resources that he had. And that's the way what God is calling us to do today. God has blessed us in many, many ways and in many, many different areas. And I believe He's expecting us not to selfishly use those resources on ourselves and just hoard them for our own enjoyment and for our own, to build our own little empires, but He's looking to us to use those resources to reach out and touch the lives of those, and especially those that have deep needs. Jesus wants us to understand that ministering to the needs of others is many times going to cost us something. We can't expect that we can minister to the needs of those around us, and especially those with deep needs, and somehow it's not going to cost us anything. It costs us time and money, and sometimes the other thing it costs us sometimes is our reputation. Many times those in our communities and in our neighborhoods, and I think a situation in our own neighborhood, in our local community there's those that have some deep needs. There's drugs and there's alcohol abuse and all those things, and some of those people are the outcast of society, and you know they're people too, and they need friends, and to reach out and to become involved with people like that, You have other people that are looking on, what are you getting tangled with? And you get, be willing to reach out, even though it may mean your reputation suffers. Let's remember that we're blessed with many resources. But let's remember, even though we may not have big, deep pockets that there's endless supply, maybe we don't have that. But we're called to use the little things. This Samaritan used the things that he had with him. It was the oil and the wine. I don't know why he had them with him, but very commonplace things. And God's calling on us. Christ is expecting us to use the resources that he blessed us with to bless those around us as well. Number 5, be willing to go beyond what is required to meet a need. You know, I think this Samaritan, it says that on the morrow, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. He took them to an inn. And then on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, he gave them to the host, and he said, "You take care of him, and if you spend any more, when I come again, I'll repay you." Remember that this Samaritan, I believe it's in John 4, where we have the story of the woman at the well. And somewhere along the line in that story, I believe it's the woman of Samaria that said to Jesus, "Don't you know that the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans?" And here was a Samaritan that, if anybody would have had a reason to wash his hands of things, this Samaritan could have. And I'd like to think this Samaritan had the option of taking him, I don't know which way he's going. Maybe he was going toward Jericho. I was just picturing him going towards Jerusalem. He could have taken him, and at the first synagogue he got to, he could have dropped him off, and that priest and Levite could have taken care of him then. But he didn't. He took them to an inn. He took this man to an inn, and he cared for him. I don't know if it set him back a day or two or not, but he took care of him, and he went over and beyond what was, I would say, was really required of this man. And then when he left, he told the host, "Now you take care of him, and I'll pay the bill." And that was going over and beyond what was required of the Samaritan. The thing that impressed me here was that he was willing to pay the host to care for him. He was willing to follow up and pay for any outstanding expenses. It's our nature to do the bare minimum. And we help someone in trouble just to get them by. And I'm not saying that I think there's a balance as we help others, as we see needs, that we don't want people to become dependent on that. But it's our nature to do the bare minimum and help someone in trouble, and then we wanna wash our hands of it and let someone else take over. Let's be willing to stay involved, and if possible, be willing to follow up with those that we have opportunity to help. I believe it's many times that God places those kind of individuals in our pathway, and we meet them at low times in their life, and they may be more open than they are. Let's be willing to follow up and see those situations as opportunities to follow up and build a relationship with them. I believe many times God allows these opportunities to serve others so that we can develop relationships with them. So let's not be too quick to wash our hands and walk away from those opportunities when really God had in mind that we use this opportunity, we use this situation to build a relationship and possibly get closer to that person and influence them in a positive way. Verse 36, Jesus asks the lawyer the question, "Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Of course, the lawyer's answer was, "He that showed mercy." And Jesus' response was, "Now you go and you do likewise." And that's the lesson that, or that's the challenge that I get from this story of the Good Samaritan, is that we read this story, it's a very familiar story, but at the end of the story, Jesus' challenge is to each one of you this evening. His challenge to me is, now you go and you do likewise. There's people that I'm going to place in your pathway along the roads that you travel that have needs, and you be a neighbor to them. And I'm not suggesting this evening that we're responsible to help every person that encounters trouble, but I've been challenged as I've studied this story and as I looked at this story to be more available and more ready to help those in need. After all that God has done for me, after all the other people that God has placed into my life that have helped me at times when I needed it, surely I have some responsibility in reaching out and touching the lives of those that God places in my pathway. A concluding verse, two verses, that I'd like to read from Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and verse 2, we have this verse: "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Be a neighbor, and you are a neighbor as you bear the burdens of others. And then in verse 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And he ends that verse with, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. But the challenge to us this evening is, as we have opportunity, are you seeing the opportunities that God puts in your pathway? He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith, but to all men. And we live in times when, I don't know, we have our own little world that we live in, and everybody minds their own business. We all carry a phone in our pocket. If we have a need, we can call somebody. And we live in a world that's kind of disconnected. Let's see the needs that God places in our pathway. I really believe that he puts them there so that we can build a relationship with those people and influence. He wants us to influence them in a positive way. Let's kneel for prayer.